Welcome to Highway Christian Community's Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links, as well as contact details, at our website, www.highway.org.za. That's highway.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.
Morning. So good to be with you again. We love this house. My dearest is with me today, Simone. Please give her a warm hand. Before I start, I just want you to do something. Just shake off and kick off any anxiety you have. Any fears? Any religion? Kick a bit harder. This is the house of the Lord. And He wants you to be relaxed and comfortable in His presence. We're together. We're the family of God. Amen. Thank you for this morning, guys. Is it Dave? Who led the worship? Dave, well done to you and your team. I've lost Dave. I don't know where he is. But well done to you and your team. What an awesome privilege we have for the musos just to lead us into Father's presence. Amen. So please have a seat. You know, the first wedding I ever did, I left the people standing through the whole service. And I said to my wife, why didn't you tell me? Because the whole ceremony, everybody was standing. And I was carrying on like nothing was wrong. Anyway, so you can sit down, please. We really love this house. Highway has been for us a beacon of light, a beacon of hope, a place where the freedom of God has entered our lives. And while I was preparing this morning, and Steve has asked me to speak on developing a heart for the unsaved, I forgot what I was going to say. Help me, Holy Spirit. Please remind me. This is before Steve asked me to prepare. I had something for you. Anyway, he'll remind me. What is it, Lord? It was important. Oh, before I get there, I want you to know that heaven's atmosphere is hope and joy and peace. That is the very atmosphere of heaven. This isn't in my notes, but the lady, is it Richard's wife, who was prophesying afterwards, spoke about those three things while I was remembering them. And just remember that heaven is always hopeful about every situation you face. Yes? There's never a time where God is going, oh dear, Trevor, what am I going to do with Trevor? I don't know about this situation. This one's very difficult for me. Heaven is always hopeful about every situation. Heaven is always joyful about what you are facing. Amen. And therefore, there is peace. So anyway, that was just something for you to know. And while I was prepping for you guys, I really felt like God is going to break depression off this morning. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up, but if you're battling with depression, I want to say this. Liberty, freedom, does not by itself does not break depression. My testimony is I battled with depression for many years as a believer. What broke depression for me was liberty and a sense of destiny and purpose. When you combine those two, a freedom in Christ, freedom from law, freedom from regulations, freedom from sin, freedom from insecurity, freedom from a lack of purpose, freedom from a lack of understanding, and you combine those things together with a sense of destiny and purpose, depression breaks. Amen. I don't believe we're going to have to pray for you today, but if you are battling with depression, and depression can come like a thief in the night, but the Lord is going to set you free today. Amen. I'm getting to the message, okay? So developing a heart for the unsaved, just a couple of things around that. First of all, and I'm not sure the theology in this house, although I know Steve very well, and we love Steve and Janet tremendously. We've walked on an incredible journey together. I'm Basil, by the way. Just in case you didn't know that. Are you guys looking forward to Janet getting home? Yeah, I'm sure you are. I believe it's next week sometime, is that right? Tomorrow? No, I think it's Tuesday next week. Yeah, the week after. No, this Tuesday, okay. Welcome home, Janet. Please tell her we send love. So, in order to develop a heart for the unsaved, you need to believe there are unsaved people, don't you? Tell me, what time should we finish, Terry? 5:30. So I've got to move, eh? Are you happy to go a little bit over if I do? I'll try and finish by 5:30, then we can pray. So we need to believe that they are unsaved, and I want to start with scripture this morning, John 1, verse 12. And it says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." To those who received him, to those who believed in his name, believing and receiving, he gave the right to become children of God. Let me say this. I do believe that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. I do believe that God wants every man, woman, and child to be saved. I do believe that faith is heaven's currency. If the atmosphere of heaven is joy, hope, and peace, the currency of heaven is faith. And I don't mean you can buy things, because everything heaven provides is for free, isn't it? But I do believe there's a transaction. We can receive what heaven has provided freely by faith. Faith is heaven's currency. Amen? Are you getting this? Thanks, Terry. It's good to have some groupies, eh? God makes stuff available for all of us, and we can receive those things through faith. We get righteousness by faith. You can say amen if you agree with me. It's good to be interactive. We receive healing by faith. Have you received your healing this morning? Amen. The just shall live by faith. Salvation is no different, friends. We receive salvation by faith. You know that argument that says everyone's saved, but they just don't know it yet? Hey, I don't know, man. If healing's the same as faith, then of what use to me, to man or beast, is healing if I'm healed but I don't know it yet and I live my whole life sick? Is it any use? I just, that argument for me doesn't sit. Everyone's saved, but they don't know it yet. I'm like, Lord, I want to know that I'm saved if I'm saved. Don't you? Yeah, of course. I want a successful, powerful, significant life knowing that I'm saved. It's no use not knowing it and getting to heaven and then realizing, oh, I was a millionaire, but I never spent any of that money. Anyway, you got the point, eh? So for the sake of today, we believe they are unsaved. Those who through faith have not yet transacted. Jesus provides forgiveness. He provides salvation, which is a free gift. By faith, we believe in him and we receive it. Amen? Same as forgiveness, same as healing, same as righteousness. All by faith, provided by Jesus freely. Amen? So we together. So that's the first thing I want to say before we dig into the word. And secondly, we're talking about the unsaved today. If I mention the word evangelism, do you go, whew? Because a lot of people do. Traditionally, the evangelist has had, are there any evangelists here? So that I can apologize to you beforehand. Actually, normally when the evangelist has come through town, I've left feeling so guilty that I really try and get people saved for the next 2 or 3 weeks. And then after that, I go back to my normal life. Well, I want to tell you today, firstly, that God, your normal life is exactly where God wants you to be and the place he wants you to be effective from. And secondly, God does not use guilt and condemnation to motivate you. Do you know that guilt and condemnation is a very poor motivator? Fear-based stuff cannot be sustained. It eventually leads to death. Or certainly guilt and condemnation causes us to run away and hide from God, doesn't it? We hide from him because we're ashamed. Guilt and condemnation is shame-based. It's fear-based. We hide from God. God doesn't want you to hide from him. Amen. And he doesn't use guilt to motivate you. So let me ask you a question. We've spoken about hope, joy, and peace are heaven's atmosphere. Faith is heaven's currency. What is heaven's motive? Love. Did you get that because I shared it with you in the car on the way up? No. Heaven's motivation is love, isn't it? Everything heaven does, God is love. Everything heaven does, everything that comes, every good gift is motivated by love. God will motivate you by love. So we're speaking about the unsaved today. Amen. Jesus says two things about love in the scriptures. And I want you to notice the difference between these two scriptures. The first scripture is when Jesus speaks about love under the law. The Pharisees come to him and they're trying to catch him out. So they ask, one of the Pharisees comes to him and says, Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? Ha, let's catch him, you know. And he answers this. He said, Jesus replied, Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, that's the first scripture. It's commands. It's under the law. It says you must love God and you must love your neighbor. And it's said just like that because that's what the law does. It requires something of you. You must love God and you must love your neighbor. Okay? How's the weight in the room? It should be like, oof, oof. Have you loved God enough this week? Oh, my legs are feeling sore already. My thighs are taking strain. There's lactic acid pumping through. Have I loved my neighbor enough? Oh, not enough. Condemnation, guilt. Oh, heavy, heavy. Oh, God, I don't know if I can do this. Shame, let me hide from God. Do you see how it works? It's not an evil command. It's a fantastic command. I mean, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it, but it cannot do anything to help me. Highway Church, you know about this, but I'm reminding you of some things. Notice the second scripture. Later on, Jesus says this. I'm preparing to sing. He says, a new command I give unto you. Who's keen to sing it with me? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know. You know how it goes. Eh? How's my song there? Thank you. A little bit of help from our friends. Absolutely. So Jesus says, how different is that command? He says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Now, if hope, joy, and peace are heaven's atmosphere, love is heaven's motive. Faith is heaven's currency. Grace is heaven's operating system. Amen? That's how heaven operates. When the Lord offers us something, he provides for it in the first place. Isn't that grace? He gives us the ability to do what we in ourselves could not do. So he says, love others as I have loved you. Friends, we're speaking about, Highway Church, we're speaking about today, developing a heart for the unsaved. What is the motivation for that? Love. It's not out of a command or sense of, you must love your neighbor. That will not produce fruit. Let me share this with you. Jesus walks past the fig tree and he curses the fig tree. What do the legalists say? Jesus cursed the fig tree because it had leaves but no fruit. It had the promise of something without delivering. And Jesus curses that tree. And the next day they walk past it and the tree is dead. And so everybody thinks, well, all the legalists think, he cursed the tree saying, if you don't bear fruit, you're cursed, you're useless, and I'm going to throw you into the fire. Is that what he was saying? That's not what he was saying. You know what the fig tree represents? The law. And under the law, you cannot produce fruit. That's why he cursed the fig tree. He was showing a new way. You're not going to do it by obligation and duty. You must love God and you must love your neighbor. Otherwise, I'm going to chop you up in pieces and throw you in the fire. That isn't the heart of the Father, is it? For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Love one another as I have loved you. How different is that message? It's so different. Jesus, born under the law, preaches the law to the full extent so that the self-righteous would no longer depend on themselves but on him. Amen. All pride and self-righteousness falls flat on its face before the cross. Thank you, Terry. Terry, you're my best friend today. You know that. I do love Terry. So, the difference between the two scriptures is evident. The first one is harsh and heavy. The second scripture reminding us is that it is love. If we know that we are loved, then we are able to love others. So my major point today is this. To develop a heart for the unsaved, you need to know first that you are loved. I can sit here and beat you on the head telling you the world needs to get saved and it's going to hell, and if you don't, and pour condemnation on you, and you'll be fine for 2 or 3 weeks, but then you'll go back to your normal life. And I want to say our normal Christian life is that we will develop and realize how much we are loved. Out of that, there were words this morning of overflowing. Picture a bucket that's full of water. You try walking with a full bucket. And full means overflowing full, eh? Not like half full. You spill everywhere you go, don't you? Paul the Apostle said this to the Ephesians. He said, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. It's not just because somebody told you they love you. You need power to grasp how deep this love is. Why? That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. The other message about the tree is a tree produces fruit after its own kind. A lemon tree cannot produce olives, can it? If you want a tree to produce fruit, it needs to be a healthy tree and it'll produce fruit. Healthy beliefs lead to healthy lifestyle. Can somebody say amen? So I want to go after our belief system today. What we believe about how God loves us. Because what you believe about that will produce fruit after that. What we believe about evangelism will produce fruit depending on what we believe about it. Amen? Yes? So I want to have a little bit of fun. Each time I've been here, I think this is the third time, we've laughed at some lies. So, if you've seen that ministry, it's a lot of fun. But maybe you haven't. So let me just tell you a little bit about the thought behind it. Otherwise, you're going to think I'm weird, which is also fine. I'm happy to be a fool for Jesus. But laughing at lies is a powerful way to expose them. So you hear a lie that's not true. You replace it with truth because the truth, what does the truth do? Sets you free. You hear the truth about evangelism, you're free in that area. You're not sitting under this weight and false burden. Amen. Highway Church, I declare today, you're never going to be the same again. People are going to get saved again here. Not because you felt guilty, but because you started to love on them. They began to, Bill Johnson said this, there's a new wave of evangelism coming to planet Earth. It's called the goodness of God. Amen. How awesome is that? We're scared of evangelism. The word evangelism means the bearer of good news. We're scared of it because we think it means I have to climb up on the box at Spa. Hey, everybody, listen here. I mean, how many of you can do that? I definitely can't do that. And I definitely don't want to do that. And so we go, well, that's what the evangelist is, Reinhard Bonnke, you know? Man, if that's the only way the world's going to get saved, we're in trouble. I'm very, very certain of this. There's another way. And it's the ministry of one-on-one. Jesus spent time with a one-on-one. We are all called to be witnesses. Somebody shared earlier, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Friends, you don't have to pray and fast to find out your calling in God. Can I tell you what it is? The ministry of reconciliation. You've just been commissioned, by the way. All of us are called and chosen. If you're in the kingdom of God, you are, what did Jesus say? Acts 1, chapter 8. The Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses. What is a witness? God has done this in my life. He's good. He can do it for you. That's it. Amen. So your calling is to be reconciliation with a world whom God loves so much and what's going on in your life. God wants you to win powerful victories in your life so that you have a testimony like Trevor. Is it Trevor? Has been for a while, eh? Trevor, I love your testimonies and the simplicity of Trevor's testimonies. If you start winning some battles in your life, you can stand on the shoebox in front of that one person in front of you. Hope the speaker's built well. Although I'm not that heavy. And you can say, man, let me tell you what God has done for me. You don't have to be religious. You don't have to be weird. In fact, please rather don't be religious. Don't be weird. Don't be holier than thou. What is the very characteristic that drew people to Christ? His holiness. It wasn't his holiness, I don't believe. It was that he was human. He was real. He was just there. They ran out of wine at a wedding. He turned water into wine. How cool is that? The religious get offended at that. He was saying, I'm real. I'm enjoying the party with you. He didn't get drunk. He didn't drink two bottles of wine and wind out the door. He had control over himself. You can have some wine because you have the Holy Spirit in you. And if you can't control it, then don't have any. But I was in Ireland recently ministering to the Irish. What amazing people. Any Irish here? Yo, the Irish are the most amazing people I've ever met. Warm and friendly, beautiful people, hungry for the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something about Ireland. The Guinness is delicious. Steve Wheeler, I apologize. We would go after ministry and have a Guinness with the people. That's what Jesus did. The religious, it just, oh, how can you do that? My Irish accent's not so good, sorry. You'll have to. But you get the point. People love Jesus because he was real. All you need to be is who you are. The most attractive you can be is you. You can't be anybody else. And you need to deal with the desire for fame because it's in all of us. All of us want to be famous. It's just a crazy thing. As I deal with that in my life, God deals with it on different levels. And I realize everybody can be great, but not everybody can be famous. And actually, Lord, I don't want to be famous because fame brings with it a whole lot of other things. And it doesn't bring what I'm really desiring, which is significance and purpose. And a life that actually has some meaning. I want to know why I was born. I want to know why I need to wake up tomorrow full of the Sealy Posturepedic, you, thank God for today. Not, you know, the other way, oh God, it's today. That's called depression. And it's rooted in a lack of understanding that you have a hope and a future, that God has called you, that you're important. Every single one here. Amen. I see some nodding here. You guys are also my friends today. Thank you. How are you guys doing? That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That you would know that you are rooted and established in his love. A love that surpasses understanding. It's such a deep love. You need power to grasp it. Lord, give us power to grasp how much we are loved. When we are loved, when we know that we're loved, then we become powerful because we are filled to the measure of the fullness of God. And you know what happens when you're full of God? You're full of love. Aren't you? God is love. Full of him, full of his measure, you start to love. That's the most powerful witness you can be, is loving others. Not because you were told to love them. I don't love my wife because I've got a marriage certificate next to my bed. I love her. There's a heart behind it. Amen? Amen? We love each other. It starts with the church, but it cannot just stop in the church. Surely this love is for the world. And you are connected to the world. Here, the body of Christ, the family gets together. We celebrate, we hear the word of God, we're involved in each other's lives. But when you go out tomorrow morning, or even for lunch this afternoon, you're connected with the world. And they need to see His love. And you don't need to be weird. And you don't need to be afraid. And you don't have to push to try and accomplish something. Just rest and enjoy and love and be filled. And let other people see the light of God. And then you will have opportunities. We're going to pray for that today. Not that opportunities would come, because God gives us always opportunities to just say God loves you, whatever it is. To pray for somebody who's sick. You don't even have to do it to strangers. There's enough people you know around you that you can be effective just to them. You know that? Not too many amens, but anyway. This is a joy, Lord. We love what you've called us to. You won't be able to help it because God loves people. John 3:16. God loves the world. Amen? So, let's have some fun for 5 minutes, shall we? Are you ready? Joy is heaven's atmosphere. So, all powerful actions, all powerful behavior comes out of powerful belief. You will know the truth sets you free. You believe like Jesus in a situation, you can behave like Jesus in that situation. I didn't say you believe in Jesus, I said you believe like Jesus did, full of faith. Amen? Jesus was powerful because he believed the truth in every situation of his life. Amen? Is that the truth? Imagine if you believe the truth about every area of your life. If you believe the truth in your marriage, the truth about yourself, the truth about your spouse, the truth about God, the truth about what God has done, the truth about finances and how stewardship works, the truth about the Holy Spirit, that He is for today, and He is doing miracles today, and He is our helper, and He's ever present, that He doesn't leave because we sinned. Because if He left when we sinned, how do we get Him back? Well, I'll just leave that open. Because if you have the answer to that, you should be up here. He doesn't leave when you sin. He's the helper. He's the one who empowers you and enables you to not sin. Amen? Yeah. He is full of forgiveness. Okay, so let's break some lies. Let's start with some powerful declarations. Declarations, what we speak with our tongue. Remember, what you say isn't as important as what you believe in what you say. Does that make sense? In other words, don't just say it because I'm telling you to say it. Say it until you believe it if you have to. I'm going to give you a doctor's prescription this morning. 3 times a day, you're going to say these declarations until you are healed and full of the measure of God that you know that you loved. Amen. So here's the first one. Please repeat after me. I am a son.
Ladies, you are sons, by the way.
I am a son. I am dearly loved. Did you know that? Say your name. Basil, you are dearly loved. God likes me. God likes me. God really likes me. God really, really likes me. You see, there's some things breaking off here. God really likes me. Say it again. I like me. I like me. I like me. God made me just the way I am. If you knew me, you would really like me. Turn to the person next to you. Tell him, I like you. Here's something a bit more difficult. Tell the person next to you, if you knew me, you would like me. Sir, I like you. God likes you. Do you believe that? God's not frustrated with you, friends. He's not sitting there going, jeepers, I wish this oak would be better. I wish he'd stop doing that. Dear friends, I pray that you would be rooted and established in the love of God, that you may be filled to all the measure of the fullness of God, just knowing that you're loved, that you're a son. And we've got to learn to like ourselves. Amen? You got to learn to love yourself. It's in the first commandment, but it's not as clear, I think. In the second one, I think it's clearer. Love one another as I have loved you. So I really love you. I really like you just the way you are. And Jesus isn't condoning sin when he says that, is he? For people to think that, it's just silly. Stop thinking silliness. That's just silly. He doesn't like sin. He loves us. Amen? Whenever the gospel's preached properly, people always say, oh, are you condoning sin now? Like his forgiveness condones sin. He forgave everybody. Does that mean he accepts sin? No. Don't be silly. Sorry for that. Anyway. Father, give us power to grasp how deep your love for us is. I want to share my secret with you today. It's not a secret, but my testimony of understanding God's love for me is his forgiveness for me. I've messed up many times, and what has convinced me that God loves me is that he keeps on forgiving me. I don't know about you, but that just, when I mess up, and I do it sometimes, I'm a born-again believer, I'm a new creation, but I do mess up sometimes. And I just run straight back to Papa and say, sorry, Papa. And he says, that's all right, my boy. Come here. Very possibly, because the Bible says that he remembers our sins no more. 100%. But we feel condemned. We feel guilty, you know, that the enemy comes and he starts to speak to us. And so what convinces me every time of his love for me, he says, you're forgiven. What are you talking about, boy? And of course, does that mean I should go on sinning so I can receive more approval from God? That's weird, man. That is warped. Bad theology. Amen. Okay, so the natural fruit of knowing you're loved is to love others. Remember we spoke about the tree? If you know that you're loved, what's the fruit that comes from that tree? Love. You can't give out what you don't have. Most people in the world are battling. The root problem in the world today is a lack of understanding, identity, sonship, loved. So the message of the cross, the gospel, is not repent, turn from your sins or you'll go to hell. The message of the cross is God loves you, your sins are forgiven. It's a reconciliatory message. How's that big language today, eh? Thank you, Holy Spirit. I don't even know what those words mean. No, I'm kidding. So, let's laugh at some lies. Are you ready to laugh? I'm going to ask you to stand if you wouldn't mind. It just makes us a little bit more comfortable. So remember, our strategy this morning, we're going to expose one or two lies that I feel, but you can ongoingly do that in your life. When you lose hope and joy in a situation, it means you're believing a lie about that situation. You're either believing God's not in it, or the problem's too big for God to solve. By the way, let's just laugh at that. God's too big to solve this problem. Is that true? Is the problem in front of you too big for him to solve? No, it's a lie. So we replace the lie with truth. My God is able. My God is Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. My God is Jehovah Rapha. He's my healer. Whatever it is you need, he's bigger than the problem. Amen. So we replace the lies with truth. The truth sets us free. Hope rises up. And I'm filled with joy and peace again. The atmosphere of heaven. When you're walking in the atmosphere of heaven, people notice. Those greats who are on the train, or their shadows healed someone, it wasn't because the shadow was powerful, it's because the atmosphere around them was so powerful that heaven was present, fully present. Who wants some of that? Thank you, Jesus. More of that. When we walk in the streets, we're carrying such a powerful atmosphere of hope, joy, and peace that other people are just, they don't even know where it came from. What is that that you've got? Well, let me tell you. Jesus, my friend, my Lord, my sins are forgiven. He's empowered me to live a wonderful life. He's restored my family by restoring me. Let me just say that again. He's restored my family by restoring me. Maybe your spouse isn't the problem. That wasn't meant to be funny, but it is actually, you know, the truth is sometimes funny. Here's a good one. I'm not physically attractive enough to be significant. What is the truth about that? We're made in His image. God made you exactly. People laugh at this here. And I'm totally, you can mock me, you can laugh at me. My dad loves me. He knows the numbers on my head. Although it's an easier job that he counts my hairs than some of you. But anyway, I don't think that was his reason for it. God made us. We've got to get to the place where we can say, I like myself. I am created in the image of God. We got to walk with a little bit of a swagger. I can't walk like an African man. African guys can just swagger, man. It's just like, but Christians, we need to walk like us with a swagger. We're the King's kids. We're sons. We have authority on this planet to bring life. Amen. Amen. To walk like Jesus. So, here's another one. No, let me do this one first. I am too old to make a difference. Hey, some of you need to laugh now. I see a lot of gray crowns of glory here. That's why I chose this one this morning. Let's laugh at that lie again. I'm too old to make a difference. My influence is declining. You guys don't think that's so funny, eh? Maybe you believe in the lie. God primarily wants to use younger people. The younger generation will not receive from me. Thank you. Keep going. God's promises are more applicable to younger people. Oh, no. Here's the truth. There's no retirement in the kingdom. Holy Spirit has no age. He's ageless. Those with gray hair and no hair. The kingdom needs you. We need you. We need you to walk in what God has called you to walk in. Here's the truth. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that we should walk in them. Friends, that is not to the young generation. That is to young, old, doesn't matter. Small, big, Greek, Jew, Italian, Portuguese, Afrikaans, English, Zulu. Amen? That is the truth of God's word. It'll set you free. Every time you feel insecure about somebody else doing well next to you, celebrate them. Because they have their walk to walk in, and you have yours. If you just do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do, you will accomplish an incredible amount in your life. Amen? Don't look for position. Don't look for profile. Those are wasted efforts. Just do what He tells you to do. You've got to walk that will give you such life and hope in the morning that you'll spring out of bed like you just bought yourself a 20,000 rand Sealy posturepedic bed and your back's perfectly straight and you have so much energy because you've been eating broccoli milkshakes for 2 months. There's nothing against broccoli milkshakes or Sealy Posturepedic beds, but I want to tell you that the energy Paul talks about, that he woke up in the morning and the energy that had that motivated his ministry was power from heaven. The word dynamis, dunamis, power, comes from that. Paul says, I work with his energy. It comes from that. It comes from hope. It comes from faith. It comes from the life of Christ pumping through your veins. You just get so excited, like I am now. That's the Holy Spirit energy. Some of you are bouncing, boing, boing. That's the life that you want. God has that for you. Whether you're old or young, those people who had sore hips, just boink, boink now. Jump up and down. Excuse me. Amen. One more. Okay, I want you to laugh really loudly at this one. I'm not evangelistic. Because the Holy Spirit in me hasn't got a heart for people. You got the point, eh? God's love for people motivates him to reach out to them. We are filled with the fullness of God's love, and it is our motivation to love on the world. I believe, and I'll just prophesy quickly over you, Highway Church, that you're going to double in number, and we do not chase a church growth program. I know Steve feels about this. We talk a lot. But man, God is interested in the unsaved, isn't he? He wants to see the lost become found so they can sing Amazing Grace with us. I was lost, but now I'm found. Jesus found me, grabbed me in the scruff, in the mire, and he pulled me out. Amen. So, Terry, how should we finish? Should we just pray? So I'm going to close with some prayer, and I don't believe we need to activate anything in here, but I want to encourage you to walk like Jesus walked out there. Get rid of the weirdness and fear. I pray for boldness today, Father, not a boldness that is weird, but a boldness that is able to overcome fear. Today we've broken the lies of the enemy, and we've replaced them with truth. The truth of your word is, Lord, is that you've given us the Holy Spirit and you've given us power to be your witnesses. That's the truth of your word. We declare it today. Declare with me, I have power to be a witness. I love people because my daddy loves people. And my daddy loves me. So Father, we thank you today for an amazing... You want to keep praying with me, eh? Father, we just thank you for the truth of your word today, that you are doing amazing things in Pinetown, that Pinetown will never be the same. We thank you for Highway Church. We pray a blessing on Steve and Janet. We thank you for amazing leaders, all the leaders in this church. And we thank you for every saint, every powerful saint in this church. We thank you that church is not about the main man of the hour getting up and us kind of worshiping him, but it's about the truth of your word penetrating our minds, and we are transformed by the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So with new minds, Father, we wake up in the morning with new purpose, with new hope. We thank you that you've called us to be part of your kingdom, that each of us has a ministry. We've been released into our ministries today, and we want to be a powerful and effective church, even one-on-one. And so will you give us opportunities, Holy Spirit, just to love on people? And we do pray for the lost. We pray for the unsaved to come in droves. In droves, Father. Save the world, God. We are hopeful about the world, by the way. I just want to close with that. Let me just say this quickly. Sorry, can I just share 2 minutes? You know, the world is changing very quickly. And as the church, we can get discouraged. And we can go, what's going on in South Africa? Yeah, please have a seat. I'm finished, though, but we can say, you know, what's going on in South Africa? Very wobbly. Maybe I should pack for Perth. But let me tell you, there's problems in Perth as well. And Europe's a mess, and America's a mess, and the world food system is collapsing. People don't trust the food coming out anymore. The world medical system is collapsing. People are not trusting these mega pharmaceutical companies. Everybody's very suspicious, and is marijuana helpful, isn't it? There's so much going on in the world. There's a food shortage, there's poverty, but things are changing quickly in the world. And I want to tell you, this morning I was driving here, I said to my wife, this is God. God is shaking the world so that what can be shaken will fall down. We as the church should be excited because there are so many opportunities coming out of this. God wants to use you to break poverty, to bring life into every situation that you're in. We are the hope of the world. Amen. Really, 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 really the hope of the world. So amen. I'll bless you with that. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for hosting us. Thanks, Terry.